This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'll be reading chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. That is chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. All things are worrisome. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. That which has been, that which will be, and that which has been done is that will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, see this, it is new. Already it has existed for ages, which were before us.
Good morning. I do want to say thanks to Mike and Randy. If you would picture two of our white tables sitting here in the middle aisle with a wooden ladder on top of it, and Randy on top of that wooden ladder, that's what was going on here Wednesday night. And a picture got sent to Deanne. I think Mike may have taken a picture of it. And she said, what were you doing up there on that ladder? And Randy said, well, you know, Mike was holding the ladder. But then Mike stepped away and took the picture. So I'm not sure how that worked. But anyway, we really appreciate our brothers doing that for us and working so hard on that. And it's great to see Jay Lynn here today. It's just great to see you, sister, and thanking God for your recovery. And it's great to see you and Neil here this morning. You know, I really found it exciting at Christmas time, getting together in our family room. It was always at our house, and getting into those presents, diving into that paper and into those boxes and finding something new, something that was just for me. Nobody else had ever had it before. It was mine. It was all mine. And it was going to be so good to have something new. And Christmas morning to come back to the den and find that one special gift that would change your life. I remember the year, it was a Davy Crockett hat and his rifle and all the other stuff that went with it. And this is going to be amazing. Or the following year when I got that bicycle with that, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like red and white up on top and had the lights built into it, you know, with the little battery compartment. It's like, this will change everything. This will change my life. And it's amazing how quickly the raccoon hat finds its way to the bottom of the toy chest. And my friend John gets a 3-speed. And, you know, pretty much the newness wears off, but there's that desire for something new. There's the lure of the new. We want something new because new is good, and new means something's happening in my life, and maybe something can change if there's something new. Maybe it's a new TV or a new job or a new car, something new. Sometimes people think, I need a new wife or a new husband. If I could just have something new in my life would be better. Things would be better for me. Perhaps nowhere is this seen more than in the marketplace. Aren't you glad that Kit Kat has something new? I mean, you who've been eating the old Kit Kats, now it's 70% dark chocolate. That will change everything. This is absolutely new. And the new and improved triple action Purex. Some of you, I hate to point it out, but some of you, I think, are using double action or single action, and your clothes just aren't as white. You need new and improved. It will change your life. It will make your clothes sparkle. Or Keebler Chips Deluxe. This is awesome. And you're thinking, wait a minute, I love those cookies. Oh, don't worry. It's just a new look. It's just a new look. It's the same great taste. They haven't really changed anything. They just put it in a different package so it would look newer. It just got to be better, doesn't it? Or Cheerios. Somebody was so smart. Because what do you just get a box of Cheerios, right, when you go to the store? Somebody, brand new, they stuck two boxes together. Now you can buy two boxes stuck together at the same time. Cheerios is now completely different. Your morning will never be the same. And I love Pediacare. You have to look real close, but in the top, it says new, accurate dosing. And I'm thinking, what about all the people who've been buying this for their little babies? Well, they just like dump something down their mouth and hope it's the right amount. But now it's accurate dosing. So the kids actually get the amount of medicine they need. And my favorite, I think this must be from England, new diamond shreddies. And they're just telling you, the old diamond shreddies, they were boring. The new diamond shreddies, man, they're exciting. And you can see the difference, can't you? Do you see the new? It's turned up on its corner. Oh, man. I'm sure that's how it'll fall into your bowl in the morning. You know, we like new and improved. Who wants, this is old, this is the same as it was, this is no different than a year ago. No, that's, we got to have something new and improved. New technologies. I mean, we could go on forever here. Hey, we got new projectors, you know, new telephones. iPhone 7 came out. You know, there's new phones, there's new TVs. I can't even keep track of all the different things that have happened with in the TV world over the last few years. And new TV shows. When I was a kid, once a year, September, three channels, new shows once a year. Today, new shows all the time. Hundreds of channels, 200, 300 channels. And what do we say? We get the remote and we go through it and say, there's nothing on, but at least it's new. At least it's new. We like things that are new. We want new lives. We want new experiences. Sometimes we, you know, I don't know, new hairstyles, something new, clothes, something new, because new promises to make something happen. And new spiritual things. I mean, the same old preacher, the same old sermons, the same old songs, something new. And if by new here we mean a deeper commitment to God or greater spiritual maturity or a heart more open to ministry and service or to become a more dedicated disciple of Jesus, then obviously new is great. But sometimes new just becomes kind of a gimmick because we get tired of the monotony. But we just, there's something about this lure of the new, because it's like if it's new, if something new can come along, then something can change and things can get better. And maybe I can find some greater meaning or hope in my life. Now, we've heard the beginning of the book of Ecclesiastes last week. Meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless, absolute meaningless. But we're thinking today, but maybe something new can happen. I should probably warn you not to get your hopes up on that account if you've heard the reading that Oscar brought. But let's take a look at this text, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. It begins like this. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. Generations come and go. People come and go. There's one generation after the next. Okay, something's going to happen. There's going to be some sort of progress, but there is no progress. Nothing really does change. Now, the world itself, it just goes on and on and on. But we who are supposed to be the masters of it, we come and go, and nothing happens. It's like humanity, like a bunch of ants walking across the boulder, and after we've walked across and walked across, nothing's changed. It's to say there's no new path. It's just the same old thing. And the earth remains forever. But so maybe something can come up out of the earth. Maybe something new can happen, because at least the earth is going to be around. And he says this about the earth. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. Nothing happens. Nothing changes. Sun rises. It sets. And then it hurries back. The word there is pants. It's like a runner who's run out of breath. And the sun's got to hurry up and get back where it's going to come up. But it just turns out to be another day, just like the day before and just like the day after it. And while the sun is going east and west, the wind is going north and south. And it's blowing everything. And there's a big commotion. And there's lots of movement. But it just keeps on doing it. Nothing different. And the water, it flows down, it goes through the rivers, it dumps in the sea, but the sea never gets filled up and nothing really happens. And as the teacher describes the earth, it's like, it looks like something's going to happen. There's all kinds of activity and movement, but when all of the activity of movement is over, nothing's happened. Nothing's changed. There's no prospect for anything to happen. All the activity of the earth is as insignificant as the work of man that he mentions back in verse 3. Life on earth under the sun is a monotonous prison. Nothing changes. Nothing will. Nothing is new. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear it's full of hearing. We're looking for it. We're listening for it. We want it. But it just doesn't happen. And he said the wearisome is so mind-boggling that we just can't even put into words. And if you really stop and think, This is a man who's really thinking about these sorts of things, and he's really thinking about it and looking into it. And he said, when you really stop and think about it, it just gets so weary and tiresome and depressing to consider that it just keeps going and going. And if you look back in history or you look forward to the future and think it's going to happen, it's probably not, because what has been will be again. What's been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? Maybe those little shreddy things. I don't know. Maybe that's it. It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. This endless cycle. And if you think it might change in the future, here's his last cheery thought in this section. There is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. The cycle of life. We just keep going. Another generation will come. A generation will go. The next generation will not remember the generation before. It's just an endless cycle, and everyone is moving to that inevitability in the book of Ecclesiastes, that inevitability of death. That's right. That's where everything is headed. Well, it leaves you with a sense of futility and loneliness and abandonment. And yet there's a part of us that's saying, wait a minute, what do you mean there's nothing new under the sun? There's all kinds of things that are new. We've got cell phones. Solomon didn't have a cell phone. We've got the internet. You know, we've got atomic particle colliders. We've got Uber. We have things that folks back then didn't have. It's a whole new world. We live in a completely new world. And then we stop and think of what he's really saying here. Yeah. We can do it a little faster. We can do it a little bit. But he's saying, how many times have we been told, oh, this is it. This is the life changer. This is the game. This is going to make everything so different in everybody's life. And then it happens. And it ends up at the bottom of the toy chest or whatever. It just disappoints. It never brings about what we hoped that it might bring about. Because we live in a curse laden world, a world that's been subjected to futility. And you know, we have cars and we have computers and we have gadgets and we can do a lot of things faster. Although we do become somewhat enslaved sometimes to these very things. But for you and me, just like for Solomon, today the sun rises and the sun sets and the wind blows and the rivers run their course. And generations continue just as they always have. Is life really any different? If you could go back 3,000 years and live in his day, is life any different? Go into the house of a family 3,000 years ago. What are they thinking about? What are they concerned about? It's about working. It's about providing for the family. It's about mom and dad are getting older. It's about are we going to have enough food or this or that? It's the problems that they have personally. Maybe just in their personal lives and their, you know, what's going on in their life. It's the bigger questions of things like nations coming against them and what's going to happen politically in their country. You think of the concerns that they have, and they're pretty much the same kinds of concerns that we have. And the deeper questions are still the same. What is going on in life? They were asking that then. It's there in the Bible. They're asking the questions then. Is there meaning? What's the point? How do I find significance? What is life all about? Is there life after death? Is there something that makes sense of everything else in this world? In a sense, we understand that there is nothing new. There are no new problems. There are no new solutions. It's the same thing. It's the same questions. And the same desire to find those answers. Let me ask, has humanity improved? Are we better today than we were 3,000 years ago? Are people happier? Are people kinder? Are we pretty much the same? Things just continue to go. Several years ago, Ellen and I were walking out on the pier, Huntington Beach, and you know how you're walking along every once in a while, you just hear a word or two spoken by somebody you walk. You're not eavesdropping, right? I wasn't eavesdropping this night, but we were walking up the pier, and it must have been a husband and wife, just it looked like a husband and wife anyway. And they were standing there, the guy was kind of looking out to sea, and she was just kind of standing there next to him, and maybe they had just seen a movie, because he said while to his wife while he's looking out over the ocean, he said, "What if this is as good as it gets?" And his wife looked at him like, you know, what in the world are you talking about? What are you trying to say here? And I thought, you know, it's tough being a philosopher. It's tough for kind of raising these questions. I don't know what happened to him. You know, and she thought about how that, you know, what implications that might have for them and their relationship. But what if this is as good as it gets? You know, what if this is it? And we look at the teacher and we think of him as being pretty pessimistic. But honestly, there's a sense in which we understand he's very realistic. Nothing is fundamentally different. Nothing in the human condition is fundamentally different after all these years. And there is no human action, no human invention, there's no human thought that can free us from that reality. That's true. And so, for some that may be despair or doom, or you push the questions out, but that's not really where we're coming from. Because although these are issues that are beyond our grasp, these are things that God holds in his hands without any problem whatsoever. As it turns out, the meaning of life is found, at least to some degree, in something new. It's just not something new that you can do or I can do or that we can bring about. The meaning of life really comes back to something new that God can do. God will do something new. He told his people about this long ago. One of the first times we read about it is in Jeremiah chapter 31. Verse 31, God says, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." God says, "I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something that's going to change everything. I'm going to do something that will change the lives of people forever. I'm going to bring about a new agreement, a new covenant with my people. And it's going to be new in its very essence. First of all, it's going to be in them. It's going to be inside of them. It's going to be internal to them. Not just a stone with words carved into it, something external. This will be within their very heart and in their minds. And it will bring about a personal knowledge of me. People will know me, an individual, without the help of someone else, without some other earthly mediator. People will have personal knowledge of me. They won't need somebody else. Oh, you need to know. No, no. People will know the Lord. I'm going to take away their sins forever. I'm never going to remember their sins against them. There's not going to be this perpetual rolling ahead of sins and remembering them, calling the sins will be gone. And I'm going to be their God, and they're going to be my people. There's going to be a new start. There's going to be a fresh beginning. It's going to change people's lives. It's going to change the way people relate to me. And essentially, God is telling his people, this is where life will find its meaning and its hope. And we know that promise begins to come true in the ministry of Jesus. When Jesus comes to the earth, and Jesus comes, no doubt, to bring about something new. Now, the concept of the Messiah is an ancient concept, but when he shows up, people find out very quickly something different is happening in our world. In fact, when some detractors of Jesus are questioning him about his new ways and about these new things that are happening in Israel and these new principles and truths that they're hearing from him that conflict with their particular traditions, Jesus says in Luke chapter 5, verse 36, "No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And among other things, what Jesus is getting at in this very brief parable is like, look, when I'm bringing, what I'm doing, you can't take your old ways of thinking. You can't take the old traditions of the fathers and accept what I'm bringing to you. This is new. This is coming and has to be received in a new way. Jesus comes to make some changes in things, to make changes in our lives, to make things new for us. And that's what God is doing in the coming of Jesus Christ. This isn't from our efforts. It's something that God is going to do. And the only way that you and I can find newness is to receive it. You can't go out and find it. You've got to receive the newness that God longs for you to enjoy. God will give you a fresh start. God will change the essence of your life. God will give you new meaning and purpose. It's right there in Christ Jesus. And just don't look to the futile efforts in this world of like the next thing that's going to come around the corner. All of these things, they're all destined to disappoint. Oh, but when this happens in my work, or when this happens in they all are destined to disappoint in terms of bringing about some fundamental change in your life. Newness is found in Christ. Tim read the passage a few moments ago. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. A new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. There's newness. There's something new. And it's only something that God can do. And he does it in Christ Jesus. God did something new for us. God himself entered creation in Jesus. God himself in the flesh to bring about this change for us. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven of our sins. By the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the presence of the Spirit in our lives, we are made new. We are regenerated. We are spiritually alive. And things begin to change fundamentally about us. And read through the New Testament, and you'll see. You'll read about the New Testament in the blood of Christ in Matthew 26. That we are newborn babes, that we have new birth. 1 Peter chapter 2. Newness of life, Romans 6, 4. We're new creatures, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. We are the new man in the church in Christ. We are the new man in Ephesians 4, 24. A new name, Revelation 2, 17. We sing a new song, the song of Moses and the Lamb, Revelation 14, 3. We live by a new commandment, John 13, 34. We enter God's presence by a new and living way, the blood of Jesus Christ. And everything is new. Everything has been changed. This is the game changer. This is the paradigm shift. This is what will answer the questions that people have had for centuries. It's God's answer. There is nothing new under the sun. However, God sent his Son to this world, and in Jesus Christ, everything has been made new. That's the situation for our lives. Think about it. From my perspective, my life is new. My relationships are new. The relationships I have because of Christ and the body of Christ, they're deeper relationship. They're more intimate. They're more connected. There are stronger ties with those of us who are people of faith. I have a new hope. I know you do too, but speaking personally, I have a new hope, and it's a hope that you cannot get under the sun. There's nothing in this world that can break through and bring about hope for the human race. Our hope is rooted in Jesus Christ, in his saving work, in the promises of God. We live with a new hope, and because of that new hope, we have new meaning in our lives. We have purpose. We have direction. We have significance as the children of God. But there's always a sense of newness. When you and I were baptized into Jesus Christ, forgiven by the blood of Jesus, receiving the Holy Spirit, we were made new creatures. And God began to do something new in our life that changes our priorities and our values. And this newness exposes the emptiness of the fallen world to produce anything that can bring fulfillment. It always disappoints. We keep looking. We keep looking for the next thing. It always disappoints. It never fails. Or it always fails. It always will. It cannot give us what we're looking for. And if we're looking, if you're looking for something in this world to give you meaning, to give you newness, to change your life, if it's just something in this world that can happen, that can make things new for you, you're going to be disappointed. That's not where newness comes from. Newness is the work of God in your life. It's the work of God's Spirit in your life to make everything new. We have to open our eyes to that and embrace what God is doing, because in Christ, everything is new. Even as we get older, there are always new opportunities to serve. There are new spiritual insights. There are new depths of understanding of Scripture and ability to serve other people. Ellen and I watched a movie the other day. And the movie starts out, this guy's wife passes away. He's an elderly gentleman. His wife dies, and he's dealing with his grief. He's not a person of faith. He eventually tries to take his own life. That attempt fails. And then he makes a friend, just a friend, makes a friend. And you think, great, he has a chance to kind of reconcile with his estranged son. You think, look at this, something's happening. He's, you know, he's starting to see what's really important in life. You know, you just as a Christian, you're kind of thinking of this, and you realize how true this story is to life in the world, and how, you know, and the struggles that this fellow is going through. And then eventually you kind of get to the end of the story, and it's like, okay, I got it all figured out. And you think he's just ready to start living again, and he takes his life. We looked at each other and thought, what? It's like, all the time you think this guy is moving toward hope. He's moving toward life. But the problem is he's not moving toward God. And he's just like, there's nothing left. It's like meaningless. Everything is meaningless. I've been alive for all these years. Nothing new has ever happened. And I thought, after that was over, I thought, what a contrast to my mom. My mom at the age of 92 was still sane. And this is when she can't leave her house anymore. You know, she's saying, I know God has a purpose for my life. I'm not completely sure what it is right now, but I know God has a purpose for my life. I just want to be faithful to it. At age 92, no longer able to leave her home or to interact with anybody, basically, except people who came into her house, my mom had this concept, this faith that, you know what, God's still working in my life. God is still doing new things in my life. And maybe, you know, my sister and I would talk to her on occasion, Ellen, about, you know, the way that you're living, the way that you're living faithfully, the way that you're enduring your situation. You never know how that's going to impact somebody who looks at your life. That may be the game changer in somebody else's life, just looking at you as a faithful child of God. But I thought, what a different point of view from a person's life who has received newness in Christ. I'm telling you, the newness continues to go on and on. There's new things every day. God is a God who brings life. God is a God who brings things that are new. God brings people to faith. God brings people to deeper faith and maturity. God gives us opportunities to serve. There's always something new in the life of a Christian, always some new opportunity to serve or to be a light or to grow deeper in your faith, because that's who God is. God is a God of newness and of life and of hope and of eternity and of this magnificent purpose that spans all the ages when it seems like nothing is going on the face of this earth. And under the sun, from that point of view, it's so true. But from God's point of view, it couldn't be further from the truth. God is always doing something new. The question is, do I want to join that? Do I want to be a part of that? Do I want to give my life to that? Do I want to change the way I look at my life and what I look to and look for to find meaning? Can I step into that reality? Can I put my faith in Christ? Can I become a new creation so that the very heart of my life is new? Because it's no longer so concerned with all of the developments here and in the sense of finding some value there, but rather, when you connect with God and have newness of life, then you begin to look even at this old world and see the new things that God is doing. there's not despair, there's hope. There's a life. It's not death, it's life. Because God is involved. God calls every one of us in Christ to share this, to tell people about the newness that we found, new life, the forgiveness of sins, a knowledge of God, the ability to serve God and to find our meaning and purpose, and all of the new things that God continues to do in us and through His people in the church. To tell people about Jesus, to put their faith in Jesus, to repent of their sins that take them back to the old things and to turn to Christ. And in their faithful confession of Jesus and baptism into Christ, to be freed from sin, to have that debt cleaned, and to become people who truly know the Lord, people through whom God is at work. And then we just have things to look forward to here and now in this world, but even more so, we're people who are thinking of a new heaven and a new earth. We believe in a God who says in Revelation 21:5, "Behold, I make everything new." Newness is part of the answer, but not under the sun. It's newness in the Son, in Jesus Christ. And when your life is connected to Him, there is newness, and there is life, and there is hope, and there is purpose every single day. There is not despair. There is hope and life. If you don't know that life in Christ, we would do everything we could possibly do to persuade you to put your faith in Jesus and to respond to His word. And brothers and sisters, if some of us are caught up looking for things in this world to bring about some change, if only this could happen for, no, our hope for newness and life is in Christ. And if there are any today who need to come back closer to Him, take this moment, this opportunity to do so. We are new creatures, a new creation. Let's this week live as God's new creation. Let's stand together and sing.